Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good, whoa, Friday afternoon, or Friday morning. Hang on. Jared, talk a second.
Wow.
I got to clear my...
What a heck of a start.
Well, I'm
trying to... Got a frog in your throat. I blame the fog on that one. And it is morning.
I'm trying to get...
Someone about drove off the road. Afternoon. We got a full day.
Man, I'm trying to get into the text line.
The new text line?
The new text line.
We got a new but old text line. Same number.
Same number. And I forgot to write down the...
So the current thing we have is absolutely shut down. Our old way of accessing text is currently shut down. About to find out. I'm clicked on it. Because that affects tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We love those texts. And only, anyways.
Send one.
About to find out. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
Somebody send a text, 225-9698.
Yeah, do that. Give us a preview here.
Somebody do it. Anyhow, welcome to the Skinny on Sports Friday. It's week 10 Friday. High school football regular season will end tonight, so some playoff dreams will be dashed. Some playoff hopes will be realized on the football field tonight, all across the great state of Oklahoma. Glad to have you along. We got that. We'll talk about high school football, some high school hoops tonight as well, tipping off for local teams around the area. You got the NFL games we'll talk about there. Boom.
I think we'll be okay tonight.
Good deal. NFL, we got college football, and just basically all kinds of great stuff going on locally, nationally, and we'll talk about it all. 225-9698 is the phone, and still, it's always going to be the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Let's go Elks. You betcha. Go Big Elks tonight. Senior night here at Big Elk Stadium. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com. Hit the play button. Live stream us that way. Or you can download the Paragon Communications app as well. The app has all things Paragon. You got the Penny News in there. You've got the radio stations, KECO, Cool 94, and KADS. And, of course, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Big Elk TV, 7 o'clock tonight. Senior night here for the Elks and Newcastle. Senior night out at Merritt as well. But it's not just senior night. It is big-time football game between Merritt and Burns Flat Dill City. We'll tell you the implications of that coming up here shortly. 7 o'clock kickoffs for those. And then on Paragon TV, a bunch of high school hoops that we'll get into here in just a second as well. Skinny on Sports Podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and hear us. KADSAM.com. Or also you can do that at iTunes. And if you do find us on iTunes, you might as well subscribe because then you're alerted when a new podcast drops. All right, Jared, take it away. I'm distracted for some reason. How's your morning?
You seem to be distracted. My morning's been fine. I tell you what, I'm ready for the time change. I'm tired of these dark mornings.
I was thinking that today.
But the trade-off is you get earlier night, like 5:30. Who cares? We're going to be in a gym all winter anyways.
I was thinking that today, like when I was walking out, thinking, you know what? This is going to be the last day where I drive to work in the dark.
Careful what we ask for. We got all kinds of funny texts.
Good day, mate.
Yeah,
let's throw another shrimp on the barbie.
That's funny.
Anyhow, yeah, time change happens on Sunday.
At least we get an hour of sleep, too.
Yes, and it's looking like this weekend is going to be gorgeous.
Yeah.
Warmer.
Yeah.
Hopefully swinging the sticks.
I will be in a gym all weekend.
Well, that's a tough break for you. I was in a gym last night. I tell you what.
What'd you watch?
I watched fifth grade, Sarah Eagle basketball and sixth grade Lady Eagle basketball. Both wins over Cordell. I'm gonna make a bold prediction. No, I'm not. But I'm going to tell you this. It's going to take a pretty good team to beat the old Sayre Eagle fifth graders.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Pretty stout, are they?
It's going to take a good team to beat them. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Awesome.
They are. It's funny to look over there because, you know, we're used to seeing, you know, maybe me, 12 or 15, some other smaller schools. You look over and there's two or three on the bench, right?
Right, right. Not this case.
Oh, my gosh. The fifth grade, I don't know how many chairs were over there. They were all full.
Yeah.
And sixth grade girls were the same way.
Oh, good.
But it was funny because on Cordell's side, and I know this is just because, you know, they don't bring, I know they've got more players than what they brought, but there's only so much space. You know, they take one bus for fifth and sixth grade, boys and girls, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's only a certain amount of people that can come. But it was pretty shocking to look over and see, you know, both 2A basketball schools and the difference in the amount of players.
Yeah.
For each side.
Well, sometimes even at the 4A level, you can see lulls, you know, in classes. You know, we were having that discussion, I think, off air about sometimes schools will have a ton of boys in a class and not a lot of girls, and it just reflects that on the basketball court or on the sideline in this case. Doesn't mean that there's not interest in basketball. It just means there's right now. It sounds like there's a lot of the class sizes are pretty big for Sayre. Maybe.
Well, it's just because they're playing at home. Now listen, they go on the road, there's not that many kids on the bench because they can't take them.
They
all.
Won't do that. Okay.
Well, yeah, you can't take 20 a team. That's 80 kids. 80 kids don't fit on a bus.
Well, Sayre has more than one bus, right?
Well, you're not going to take more than one bus. That's the point.
Why not? It's
cost. Hello. Pandemic.
Come on, Booster Club.
Hello, pandemic. Now, listen, and it helps out not to have. Yeah, I mean, okay, Jared, we'll put you in charge of 40 fifth graders. Have fun with that.
Well, I'm at Canute. We don't have that many.
Well, there you go. Let's see. Quit throwing your stone from your glass house over there. Hey, let me ask you this. Were you in the gym last night?
Not last night.
Oh, man. Who was scrimmaging?
It was.
Was it younger?
It wasn't the high school. It was.
Boys versus girls. I want to know who won.
Yeah, it had been maybe around the fifth grade class.
Okay.
Fifth or sixth grade class.
So it was Jaylee.
It was around there. Jaylee's. Yeah. We'll get a text
age.
Here in a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll find out. I saw some pictures. I don't know how it turned out. I almost went because I needed to do some final prep work for Paragon TV. We'll touch on those games tonight. But I wound up staying home and doing computer work from home. But I saw some pictures. I was curious how that turned out.
Yeah.
I got a guess.
Do you guess boys or girls? You're going to guess girls.
I am. No offense to the boys. But sometimes boys go in thinking, we're scrimmaging the girls. This should be a cakewalk. And the girls come out just boom, firing.
Now, if it went that way, and I understand what you're saying, no offense, boys, and da-da-da. But when you get – I mean, it's one thing to be a first grader. But now, man, when you get into fifth grade, don't you feel like there will be public shaming over losing to girls?
I think Jim said that yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mocking? Some sort of mocking of losing to girls? Maybe not – I mean, not by us. I'm just saying, you know – around town.
I bet your dad if the girls won and the dad gets home, if we
can get this out there and some of those fifth grade boys are tooling around the Canute gym tonight during the Eric game, someone's gonna say something to them about, oops, you guys really lost to the girls. You know that's gonna happen.
I'm
right?
Gonna guess the response.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Who won?
Come on.
We
I've really
who won? It was the 5th and 6th grade girls versus the 5th and 6th grade boys.
Yeah, who won?
If this is an annual thing, they should be selling tickets to this. This should be a fundraiser.
Boys won by 4, 51-47.
Still pretty good.
Very close game. Still maybe some mocking should happen. Now, listen, I was on your side of it, too, because I've seen those girls. I've seen that Canute girls play at that age, and they're good.
They got some studs in the boys' team. They got some dudes. I saw a video of, I think it was the third grade or fourth grade boys. They were at Visay last night.
Oh, boys travel team, not all just Canute kids.
Oh, they had a souped-up team.
They had to, or they would have lost.
There it is. There it is.
Bammo. All right, let's move on to high school football.
Yeah, or do you want to touch on what's playing tonight on while we're on the basketball topic?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got it in front of me here.
I say I wrote it down, but go ahead.
Okay, Blair is at Arapahoe. On all these games, just start at ParagonTV.com. Click on your team.
6:30.
6:30, probably roughly 6:15 pregame. Maybe earlier. Tune on in. Blair at Arapahoe Butler. I tell you, Arapahoe looks good. Both boys and girls. They look real good. Visay is at Cheyenne. That could be a really good girls game. Shoot, both games. Leedy at Sweetwater. Sentinel is at Hammond. And Eric is at Canute tonight. And a lot of those are openers outside of Arapahoe and Cheyenne. Leedy's starting their season. Hammond, Canute. Not sure about Eric, Sentinel, or Sweetwater played Cheyenne earlier on Tuesday. So, anyways, full at it tonight at ParagonTV.com. And there we go. And if you need to find out where these games are, or if you have a question, go to KADSAM.com, and there's a calendar right there on the front page, and it says Paragon TV and the date. Click on that. It's going to show you all the games that are happening on that particular date. And it provides links to your school. Couldn't have made it any more easier for you. But Aaron looks confused.
Yeah, the one I was looking at, I just wrote it down wrong, I guess. The Sentinel-Hammond one. I had Hammond. Oh, Hammond versus Sentinel, yeah. It's just backwards. I have it at the same place.
It is Sentinel at Hammond, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I have okay. Hammond versus Sentinel, but that means
home. There will be
mistakes
because I entered this, so there will be mistakes.
No, that's right. Okay. We have the same thing. Just
okay.
Set it different, and that's what threw me off. Then tonight, of course, Elk City Newcastle on Big Elk TV, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kick, and then Merritt as well, hosting Burns Flat Deal City. We talked about those scenarios yesterday. There's four games in 4A1. Two of them matter.
Right.
Clinton versus Bethany over in the Tornado Bowl. Winner is the district title. Winner. Loser is second. Period. End of story.
Simple as that.
And then here with Elk City and Newcastle, winner is third. Loser is fourth. All four teams, we know who's in the playoffs. It's those four teams. And they're all playing each other. It's weird how that worked out, but it did work out just like that. So Elk City, Newcastle, Clinton, Bethany are the teams that are going to be in the playoffs from 4A1. Tonight's results will determine what order that is. And there's no way for Clinton or Bethany to drop out of the first two spots, which in turn means there's no way for the Elks or Newcastle to jump up into the first two spots. It's 1-2 over at Clinton, 3-4 right here. Out at Merritt, the Burns Flat Deal City comes to Merritt. Winner of that game is fourth in A1. And we'll get to go to Mangum next week. Loser of that game is turning in the pads on Monday and getting started on the basketball season. It doesn't get more pressure packed than that. You know, the 4A1 games, yes, you want to win the district if you're Clinton or Bethany. Heck yeah, it's great.
But the consolation is
you still get a home game.
You still get a home game. You know, you're still in the playoffs.
That's right. Tonight here, you want to be third, probably, because you don't want to go to Tuttle because they're number one.
Right.
Get it. But even if you lose, hey, we still get to go to Tuttle, and we're in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, yeah.
Out there at Merritt, ain't the case. It's either win and continue to play football, or lose and start your basketball season.
It's kind of like one of those mid-majors that the only way they get into the NCAA tournament is by winning their conference.
It's like the finals of a conference tournament.
Yeah, they know what's at stake. Yeah. So, you know, out of all the games we mentioned, that might be the most entertaining game because there's a lot of desperation in there.
There's some others like that around the area. One of those is in eight-man football. Class B District 1. Turpin is at Sealing. Exact same scenario.
Oh, wow.
Winners fourth, losers out. Elsewhere, you know,
there's a lot of basketball people who would love to see Sealing continue their football season.
Yeah, especially got them early. Oh, you mean we don't have to play the Lady Cats this week? Great. Yeah, if we knew what their basketball schedule actually was, if they had games scheduled like next week, I wouldn't be surprised if certain towns don't show up on the Sealing sidelines tonight or on the side rooting them on.
Yeah.
Also in B1, Laverne at Shattuck, that's always one of the biggest games across the state of Oklahoma. Laverne wins, they are the district champ. Laverne loses, Shattuck could still win the district if Canton can beat Balco. There's a lot of different scenarios going on there with points and all that if Shattuck were to upset Laverne tonight.
By the way, Ceiling doesn't start their season until November 30th.
Well, then maybe people are rooting for Turpin. I don't know. So that's in that B1. Elsewhere in A1, there's a district title game tonight. I believe it's at Fairview, with Fairview hosting Hooker. Winners first, losers second. Moreland's already third. And then that Merritt Burns Flat winner will join them in the playoffs at fourth. we had that I had that written down yesterday for A2. And they're basically decided. Mangum's 1, Minko's 2, Apache's 3. And then tonight's games can decide that Cordell is one of the teams. Cordell wins their in to the playoffs at fourth. So they'll have their eye on that Fairview Hooker game to see who their possible opponent would be coming up next week. But, you know, this is part of me hopes that the Elk City game is just, you know, a 14-point game, let's say, in the fourth quarter with the Elks winning. That way we can kind of surf around and keep everybody updated. You know what I mean? That's the intrigue of the other matchups.
Right, right.
To keep everybody updated on where.
We hope it's a blowout in favor of the Big Elks.
Yeah, that way we can kind of hang out in the fourth quarter.
Let's find out what's happening. Yeah, other games we're looking at. Blanchard and Tuttle has implications on where we may be going and Cushing and who do they got.
They play Hera. All four. They're the same way. District 2 is the same way as District 1 in that all four teams that are in the playoffs play each other tonight. Now, they're not near as cut and dried as what 4A1 is. Because
it's a little bit more of a logjam up top.
It is. And the fact, like if this was Tuttle-Cushing, then that would be a district title game. But they've already played.
Right.
So Blanchard could be the fly in the ointment there with the win over number one Tuttle, which causes a three-way tie if Cushing beats Hera. And then there's all kinds of points and stuff like that. The one thing tonight, Cushing cannot win the district.
Regardless of outcome?
Because they're 31 behind Tuttle.
I got you.
Blanchard's exactly 30.
Is there a scenario where if Blanchard wins, they can jump to 2?
I think if Blanchard wins by more than 15, they win the district.
Well, that's a scenario they would like. I don't see that happening. I could see it being a close game. But
because here's the deal. They would tie at 75. Cushing can only get to 74. So then if you're tied district points,
you take the
you'd have to go the head-to-head route, right?
Right, of course.
And so then that would mean you would hope if you're Blanchard's side of this, you hope the next tiebreaker isn't who fared better against the next team down.
Man, couldn't.
Because that's Cushing. Tuttle beat Cushing. Blanchard lost to Cushing. But I would assume if they tie in points, that's the first tiebreaker to break the three-way tie, right?
Of course.
So then they tie in points.
You go to head-to-head.
Then you go to head-to-head between the two teams that are tied. And they're 1 point away from that being a three-way tie. That would be wild.
That would be wild.
To figure out what that next.
Would they meet at a truck stop and flip a coin?
Yeah, flip a coin like they did with Gary Gaines back in the day in the Permian Panthers in that movie. Friday Night Lights. So we'll be able to I anticipate as fast as the game was last Friday. I don't know if it's going to be that way this Friday.
No.
So what I mean
– You mean Newcastle.
Elk City and Newcastle. So what – I have a feeling that by the time we wrap up the broadcast tonight, we will know kind of what the playoff seedings are.
Yeah, the way Newcastle, they throw the ball a lot. I can see it being a little slower.
It's going to be a fun night. Fun night, week 10. And the good thing, at least in the 4A district, is regardless of the scenario tonight, the Elks are in the playoffs.
Right.
This doesn't make any difference.
This isn't the end all here.
Oh, but it is senior night. So come on out.
Senior night.
Supposed to be nicer. Listen, it's a dreary start, but it's supposed to be nicer.
It's supposed to clear up and actually be warmer than yesterday was. Yesterday was
mid 60s. Nice. It's going to be pretty nice by the time the game picks off.
You might need it by halftime.
Man, how about before we take a break and talk college football? How about the Thunder? You see what they did?
Is there a way that they could play the Lakers every time? I didn't see what they did. I went to bed thinking, well, it's 9:30, it's the Lakers, I'm tired. We all know how this is going to shake out. I did have a small ounce of hope when I saw that LeBron was out. It's like kind of mirrors what they did a week and a half ago, playing him without LeBron. It wasn't as large of a deficit, but they came back from a large deficit.
19. It was 26 a couple weeks ago. It was 19 last night. SGA was awesome down the stretch.
Dude's a winner.
So in the last 25 years, the Thunder became the fifth team in the last 25 years to overcome multiple 19-plus point deficits against the same opponent in a single season.
I'd like to see the stat, how many times the frequency of that. What is it, 8 games in? 9 games in?
2-6. So, yeah, the 8th game for the Thunder.
So, 8 games in, they've done it twice.
It's got to be the fastest, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it doesn't tell. I'm looking at ESPN stats and info. The Bulls did it to the Sixers in the 15-16. What's crazy is this is over the last 25 years, and every one of them have happened within the last decade.
Hmm. Well, that is it crazy because the way that this game has shifted to shoot.
I think that's what shows you how much more important the three-point shot has been over the last decade than it was before. 100% agree. Warriors, Timberwolves in 11-12. Pistons, Celtics 13-14. Raptors, Mavs 13-14. Bulls, Lakers 15-16. Then the Thunder and the Lakers this year. Craziness. Absolutely crazy. And the Lakers, their big guys played really well. Russ was efficient and good with 27. Anthony Davis had 29. Melo's corpse had 21, made 5 threes. You know, so it felt more collapsey by the Lakers the first time because of the way they played.
Yeah.
This one doesn't feel quite the same. I mean, Westbrook, 10
the highlights
of,
I saw
10 of 23, yeah, 3 of 6, that's pretty good for him.
It looked a little bit more competitive in a sense. You know, like not so much of a collapse, but it was a tug of war in a climb of a mountain, being Thunder climbing the Lakers and getting out on top. But, man, SGA and that shot was about a 30-footer.
Yeah, logo 3.
Good night. There's a reason they extended him. There's a reason he's the base of this rebuild.
I think it's really encouraging to see him with guys that are the guys that are around him right now. He doesn't have a CP3 like he did the first year that he was here. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's his team. There's no role model. There's no
– And he has taken over games, man.
Yes, he
even
has.
In losses. Even in losses, he has been able to really put his stamp on the game. And here's what's going to be, I think, unfortunate if you're a Thunder fan, quite honestly – is he's going to be too good to tank quite as bad as you're hoping.
True.
You know, I mean, just like last night, there's no reason the Thunder shouldn't be 1-7 except for Shea. And he's becoming that good. It's great to see for the future once the Thunder get guys that are going to be competitive. And some of the, you know, I think, you know, this has been, and a lot of people think it, a huge year for Bazley. And he's been pretty good.
Yep.
He was good last night, 14 on 6 of 11 shooting, 2 of 3 from 3. You know, if that's the type, I mean, he's not going to make 67% from 3. But if he can give you 14 and, you know, 8 rebounds and shoot a good percentage and make a 3 when he's open most of the time, little things like that are going to help this team more than you realize. So what I'm saying is maybe some of the pieces that you thought you're going to have to find – are already there if these guys can grow. You know, the Dorts, the Bazleys. Thing, you know, Giddy was 2 of 9 last night, but he also had 8 rebounds, 8 assists.
Yeah, he almost had an unconventional double-double, but I like him.
He looks the part.
He does look
for a 19-year-old dude that's played.
For a rookie, he looks calm, sees the floor very well, and he doesn't look like, you know, a duck on water, you know, feet going a mile a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Like, say, Poku?
Yes. He looks like he was groomed for this league to the point that – and then you can see it where he can grow.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's going to accept that and learn that and build from this, what he can learn this season. So, you know, again, the foundation's laid. We're seeing good things. You know, the record's not going to reflect about what how good this team could be unless you're watching this team and you can know, okay, you know, that's where that we preach that patience.
And judging by Facebook, the grandmas that were watching 3 or 4 years ago have tuned it out. Because you don't see, I'm serious. You don't see that older, and a lot of women that yeah. were watching Thunder Hoops
yeah.
aren't, or at least not commenting on Facebook about it anymore.
Darn.
Maybe they'll come back. Got about 24 hours left to make your picks this week in the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest. It's coming down toward the end. Still a few weeks left for folks like myself to bounce back and get back toward the top of the leaderboard. But games kick off at 11 in the morning. Nebraska, Ohio State's one of them. So you got to make those picks before 11 o'clock tomorrow morning to make sure you get your picks into the Western Oklahoma Realty College. Pick 'em. Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. They'll do you a great, great job for all your real estate needs down there at Western Oklahoma Realty. We really appreciate them being involved with us again this year. Also, let's keep going down the train of good stuff. Western Oklahoma Realty, definitely good stuff. You know what else? Hamburger fry today.
That's always good.
It's always good. And it's locally raised beef.
That's always better.
Always better. The locally raised beef is the best beef. Western Oklahoma Christian Schools are having their hamburger fry. Times are 11 to 1:30 for lunch. They've also 5 to 7:30 for supper. There is an online auction where you have to scan the QR code. You know the best way to do that?
Just open your phone and put your camera on it and it'll pop up.
But what are you going to put it on, Jared?
What do you mean? The QR code.
Yeah, I know, but how are you going to find that QR code?
You got to go there.
You right? got to go get you a fresh copy of the Penny News, Jared.
Oh, I
right
see.
Here on the front page.
I was confused. I thought the item. Okay, I got you.
You could probably do it there too. But go pick up a fresh copy of the Penny News. It has the QR code right on the front page. You can scan in, see all the online auction items, bid and win.
I love online auctions.
Online auctions. Western Oklahoma Realty.
I'm going to need that paper when you're done.
Western Oklahoma Christian Schools, hamburger fry, $8 adults, $5 children. Like I said, 11 to 1:30, 5 to 7:30. Your meal will include a burger, and I said locally raised beef. This isn't just something.
The good old
some
taste
kind of, frozen
of Western
something.
Oklahoma right there.
It is hamburgers, beans, chips, drink, and cobbler.
You had me at cobbler. You had me at everything.
So head on out to the Civic Center here in Elk City. 11 to 1:30, 5 to 7:30. Western Oklahoma Christian Schools are annual hamburger fry. College football this weekend. Some tricky games, I think, for some of the teams that are in pretty good position after the initial playoff committee rankings. And I would start right here in this very state with Oklahoma State heading up to West Virginia tomorrow, 2:30 kick in Morgantown. Oklahoma State has been good all season long. Even in the loss to Iowa State, they were good. But speaking of Iowa State, the team that beat Oklahoma State went to Morgantown just 1 week ago and suffered an L, 38-31, at the hands of the West Virginia Mountaineers. Now, maybe not as surprised that West Virginia beat Iowa State. What I was surprised about is that West Virginia put 38 on Iowa State.
Yeah, Iowa State. I'm never surprised if somebody loses at Morgantown.
Yeah, it's a tricky place to play.
It is. It's a trap. I'm not honestly surprised OU. I mean, there's been times where it was close, but OU has always been successful there. But by razor thin successful.
Yes.
But it never surprised me if somebody goes there that you assume is the better team and loses. But I'm with you. It's giving up that many points. Iowa State, that is, giving up that many points to an offense that, well, I mean, we saw firsthand in Norman. I mean, wasn't electric. Wasn't like the old West Virginia days. You know, there still feels like they're trying to find an identity with their coach. Who is that, Paul Brown?
Neil Brown. Well, they wish it was Paul Brown.
Yeah, my apologies.
Well, maybe not now since he's dead. But
it got the Brown football thing mixed
up. Yeah, only 13 in Norman, which that was a few weeks back. It's not like Oklahoma was playing gangbuster defense at that point. You know.
Were they there healthier?
Well, but still. Have they
point
played?
Is.
That's a surprising total against what I think is the best defense in the Big 12 in Iowa State.
I don't.
Who's better?
Oh, I think OSU is.
Do you really?
Yep. I know they lost.
Not
they
so
lost.
Fast, my friend. Anyhow, that's going to be a tough one for Oklahoma State. I was listening to Mike Gundy, some of his comments from earlier this week on the way in. He attributes West Virginia's offensive explosion last week, and really as they've come since the OU game, well, they only put 20 on Tech. They only put 20 on Baylor. Okay, so since TCU 2 weeks ago, scored 29 on TCU and then 38 against Iowa State. He thinks they're throwing it more and trust in Jarrett Daigie a little bit more, and that's opening up the run game for Letty Brown. So he expects West Virginia to throw it around against his defense up there tomorrow.
Okay.
I will be anxious to see. You know, Breece Hall put 175 or so last week on West Virginia's defense running the football. You know, Jaylen Warren only had 18 carries at Iowa State, just 9 last week against Kansas in that blowout win for the Pokes. What that tells me is get ready for a gigantic dose of Jaylen Warren tomorrow from that Oklahoma State offense, because he is rested as much as you can be, say, in week 10. But he's got his legs underneath him after lighter workloads over the last couple of weeks. I would imagine Oklahoma State tries to pound and pound and pound with Jaylen Warren coming up tomorrow. And that does a couple of things. If you can get that going, makes it easier for Spencer Sanders. And there's still that lingering trust factor out there of how much do you trust Spencer Sanders in a game like this on the road.
That's always going to be there. But it's always going to be in the back of everybody's mind. But like I've said, especially even after the loss to Iowa State, I think that is getting quieter and quieter as his play has progressed and progressed. So with that being said, I mean, you're right about the run game. It's smart to, you know, it's a long season. You don't want to get him too banged up. So what, say 9 carries against Kansas and get him out? Yeah. I'm with you as far as taking or getting a lot of Warren. But that being said, I wouldn't be shocked if they let Spencer whip it around a little bit more, because I don't think West Virginia would expect that early.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's exactly right.
You know, it's a cat and mouse game a lot. You know, they think they're going to do this, we're going to do this. And that trust, I think that's huge. That trust is big. If Gundy can trust his quarterback, you'll see that offense open up a little bit more. And that's we've seen that. We've definitely seen that as of late.
Then you have also in the conference, Baylor, a letdown spot a little bit, look ahead spot a little bit at TCU. TCU obviously fired Gary Patterson Sunday, so, you know, where are they in their headspace? We saw this exact same scenario in Norman last Saturday with Texas Tech, their coach getting fired, coming into Norman, and not really all there.
Not really coming to Norman.
Right, and so TCU at least is at home. But let's be honest, the loss of Gary Patterson is a lot more shocking and monumental than Matt Wells getting fired at Tech.
There's
so,
a statue outside of that.
That's right.
They fired a coach in the middle of the year. That man who is immortalized at that stadium. It drives me crazy. I know I've said that over and over. My question is, how much of the fan base actually shows up for TCU? I don't have a pulse on this. I don't know
what the fan reaction
was like. Well, my point is, we're going to say, you know what? If they're going to give up on this season, give up on Patterson, we're giving up on you. Will it be packed?
It'll be packed. You know why? Because
it's a rivalry game.
Baylor.
They do not like each other.
That is true.
If it was someone else other than Baylor, I would wonder how many people are actually going to show up.
But they hate Baylor.
Right.
Like, it's one of those sneaky, nasty rivalries in the Big 12. You don't really realize it until you talk to people that root for either school, especially TCU to the Baylor. They hate them.
It's a disdain, man. It's not like there's no respect there either.
No.
You know, there's a little respect between OU and Texas. You know, walk through the state fair after or before a game. There's a little bit there, just a little bit, but it's there. You can sense it. But these two schools, no. you might want to wear body armor if you're the visiting team.
And do the TCU players, here would be my question about this. What are their thoughts?
Yeah, what are they?
What are their, are they, had Patterson lost them to the point that they're, that it frees them up to come play? Or, you know, did they love him enough to, you know, kind of a win-win for the Gipper type thing? Or do they just not care? You know, or just, you know, you fired our coach, screw you, we're not playing.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see, because I think
fired the guy who recruited me.
Yeah, we'll see.
Gave me a chance, you let him go. Yeah,
who knows? We'll see what the pulse of the Horned Frogs is down there against Baylor tomorrow. But I promise you they'll be ready to go just because of the disdain in that rivalry. They hate each other.
Yeah, Baylor a 6.5-point favorite.
Ooh.
OSU 3.5-point favorite.
Wish that was 7.5. And then one that we thought was going to be a huge game to start the season, and a lot of people don't even realize they're playing, Texas at Iowa State.
Well, it doesn't help that Texas plays hockey and not four quarters of football, and Iowa State, is it a disappointment? Are we labeling them as a disappointing team?
Man, I think they had that. They were breaking away from that moniker.
Or are they just going, Iowa State. This is what we – that's why everyone had pause about them, because you could see this coming, or you could see them winning those games that they lost.
I think they had turned around until last week, because couldn't you see Iowa State rolling through West Virginia, Texas,
sure,
coming to and Texas Tech coming to Norman with everything on the line?
Sure, but on the other side, now just like I said, I'm not
over.
Shocked that West Virginia beat them. We were all kind of leaning to Iowa anyways, because they always lose that game every year. They lose that game, and then they lose something else that they're not expected to lose. Baylor was that game too. They don't expect them to lose that game.
No.
And then they go up to West Virginia and lose. It's like, okay. And they'll probably win tomorrow.
Last week was the first time that Matt Campbell's ever lost in October.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. It's 100% true. He had never lost a game in October till last week.
Aaron, OSU went and beat them last year in October.
Mm-mm.
That was an October game. Look
Mm-mm.
it up.
Now, Jared.
Matt Campbell has never lost in the month of October.
I just read it in the story.
That can't be right. Yeah,
the story's not right then.
OSU versus Iowa State.
It says Campbell's first loss in October.
OSU, Iowa State, OSU 24-21, October 24th.
Oh, well, that's not right on the story then. It says it right here. Campbell's first loss as the head man at Iowa State in October. Make it second.
Fake news.
Fake news, ESPN. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. The worldwide leader in sports.
So anyhow.
Shocker.
It doesn't matter. It's not October anymore. It's November. But I think, golly, wasn't last week kind of Texas's stand?
Like a must win? Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get it done.
Sounds like they're imploding with monkeys and wide receivers who are yelling at their coach. It's a mess down there. An absolute mess. But what's new? Doesn't matter who the head man is. It's just a mess.
I think that's my point. Guess what? What's new?
What's
new? Nothing.
Nothing's new.
It's the same old down in Austin, unfortunately, if you're a Texas Longhorn fan. So, yeah, I expect Iowa State to win that game. I know we talked about, you and I off the air, Iowa State coming to Norman, not as important as we thought it was going to be. I don't think it makes it any less tough, though.
Oh, right. No, yeah. No. The,
coming
just
up in a couple
weeks. The
importance
of it. Well,
yeah.
Iowa State can definitely play spoiler. That's really what their role is right now.
Yeah,
they're playing to get to the Texas Bowl or the Alamo Bowl.
Two losses. Hard to imagine chaos enough for them to get back into the Big 12 title game race.
It's
going to
take a little bit, a lot of help for them.
Yeah.
But they can play spoiler. They can. They're not going to do much as far as beating Texas as a spoiler role, other than making it harder for them to make beat bowl eligible. Who else does Texas have left on their schedule?
Kansas State.
Well, they got Kansas.
Kansas, Kansas State, and Iowa State?
Kansas, West Virginia, Kansas State.
Okay. And then this weekend
against
Iowa State.
Morgantown, too. So I'm looking for 6 wins here. They could probably beat the Kansases.
So Iowa State, let's see, 2 losses in the conference.
I don't know, man. I could see Kansas State scheming up a game plan to beat Texas.
Oh, sure. I mean, they're going to beat Kansas, and then after
that.
They're
going to beat Kansas for their 5th win.
Now, after that, they got to win one of the other three just to make it to a bowl game.
It's crazy.
Golly, think about how their season has changed since halftime in the Cotton Bowl.
I know.
God. It was, hey.
You thought it was fixed when they put 70 up on Texas Tech, right?
Well, I mean.
You thought, okay, Texas, maybe.
Blowing the Sooners out in the first half. I mean, there was a whole bunch of, this is embarrassing on my text messages.
Has that game beaten them two more times?
Gosh, it's hard to say no. Wrapping it up for the week, what about around the country this week? It's a, you know, A&M and Auburn is a ranked matchup. Outside of that, not a lot going into the week.
I got a friend.
But here's what happens. Let me finish here.
Yeah,
just
I'm sorry.
A second.
I'm sorry.
It does seem like, just in my mind, and maybe it's happened once or twice, and so you think it happens more often than that. But does it not seem like on these blah weekends, especially once the calendar flips to November, we come in here talking about, holy crap, can you believe that happened?
Yeah.
When you're not really expecting it on a Friday.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that you're right. That always comes down. There's always games that go, whoa. I got a buddy who's just picking his upset of the week of Nebraska over Ohio State. I'm telling him, well, don't go to Vegas, man. I don't need to help you out financially if you were that dead set on it.
I will say this about that pick. Yes, Nebraska is 3-6. Yes, Ohio State is 7-1 and the darling of the nation for some reason. All six losses, Nebraska has suffered?
Yeah.
Touchdown or less?
Yeah. How come Michigan State doesn't get penalized for going to overtime with Nebraska? Is it because of that right there?
Michigan?
That statement, Nebraska? What did I say?
Michigan did it too.
Michigan too?
Not overtime, but they both beat Nebraska by three. There's
right.
One common opponent between, say, Oklahoma and the both Michigans.
It's Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Oklahoma won by seven. The other two won by three.
In
overtime.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. If that matters to the committee. I can see Wake Forest having a problem with North Carolina. You mentioned Liberty.
North Carolina is going to beat Wake Forest.
You're putting it down on that?
Yes.
They are a favorite. It
North Carolina
is going to
beat Wake Forest. Here's why. Wake Forest has never been 8-0. Ever. And every year we see teams like this.
When they get that,
oh my gosh, we're number nine. We can do it.
We've done something this school's never done.
The first committee playoff rankings or the second. Oh, we've never been this high. But
yeah.
And here's the deal. North Carolina, Sam Howell specifically, I mean, he is out of the Heisman race, has been for a long time. He's actually playing really good football. It's not his fault. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You look at his numbers are better than they were last year. If you kind of compare, you know, like per capita type of thing.
Right.
He's played fantastic.
Almost 2,500 yards passing, 22 touchdowns.
Wake is due.
For a letdown?
Not for a letdown, just a –
just for a loss.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I can't believe we're this high.
Yeah. The euphoria of being up there.
Yes.
And speaking of that, Michigan State, number three, the euphoria of coming off this first rankings. And they're like, whoa, look at us. We beat our rivals. That Purdue game, that's my upset pick of the week. We talked about not being shocked of a team losing or team winning. That's one of them right there.
We mentioned it yesterday. Purdue has the most wins as an unranked team against AP top twos. They've got nine. Nobody else has more than four. Now, Michigan State's only number five in the AP, but the point still stands. In this spot, Purdue has been the best team ever in these spots where
they're not scared.
They've already done it once to Iowa this year. Oh, yeah, that one, no – I mean, I think people will be surprised, but if you're paying attention, nobody's going to be shocked if Purdue beats Michigan State.
No.
Because
the thing I wish was this one was that night like it was a few years ago when Ohio State came to town, came to the Boilermakers.
I remember that game.
I was in Santa Fe.
I'll never forget.
Yeah, yeah.
Beat him by 29.
Sorry?
They beat him by 29.
Oh, yeah, they romped him. Absolutely. Yes, they absolutely romped him. And here's an attaboy game for you. We'll just send, instead of you having any chance at the playoffs, we'll just send game day to your campus, the Cincinnati-Tulsa game. Are you kidding me? There are much better destinations that game day could go to.
Well, here's
it just feels like a here, attaboy, pat on the back.
Here's the problem.
Here's your national attention, Cincinnati. Now we're going to be done with you after this weekend.
Here's the issue for that. Everybody knows where they were going to start the season, and they can't go there.
Because it's a CBS game? Or
because LSU sucks.
Oh, right. I was thinking maybe Auburn.
No. This is Bama LSU week. Nobody even knows it because LSU's so terrible.
Yeah, they're bad.
I mean, that's clearly where they were going to go.
Lame duck coach, and that's true.
I'll be interested. You know, one of the teams that
– point is, they're better options.
They always do this about this time of the year when it's a week like this.
They'll find like a James Madison
campus to go to. That's right. They always kind of – they give a little
– listen, it might make for good television. I'd love to see what these Cincinnati fans, what kind of signs they have up for the College Football Playoff Committee.
Oh, it could be fun.
What kind of chants they yell.
It
won't be "Let's go Biden," even though
"Let's go Brandon"
or Biden. I'm sorry, "Let's go Brandon," even though they'll try to swing it that way.
What about does Washington have any chance?
Yeah, sure.
Against Oregon,
yeah.
See, here's a reason why.
Not necessarily a night game for them, but it is.
It's a 6:30, so a 4:30 kick out there in the western part of the United States.
This is an Oregon team that struggled with Cal. They got beat by Stanford. Yeah, I can see them definitely having an issue with the Huskies.
One of the reasons why, and I just mentioned it, certain teams get to this point, they've never been here before, and they start losing. That's one of the main reasons why the College Football Playoff has been the same people is because the same people perform when they have to.
This is true.
You know, look at Oklahoma.
They always win in November.
Oklahoma –
Have they lost a game in November? It's been since 2014, I think.
I just saw that pop up. Baylor in 14 was in November, wasn't it? In Norman?
Yeah, I saw that pop up too. It's been that's why they call it Championship November.
Yeah, so I mean,
and you're right. The big teams step up for late game stretches.
They're used to the feel of those games.
Yes.
They're used to that pressure-packed have to win this game on the road type things.
Right.
Yeah, Baylor, November 8th of 2014.
Last loss?
It's the last loss in November. Oklahoma State beat OU in December that year, but as far as just the month of November, they won their last two. One, two, three, four. So that's six. One, two, three. That's nine. 13. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be 20-something straight.
23 straight 23. Wins in the month of November.
It's
11 of those versus teams in the top 25.
I saw that earlier this week. Dang it, I wish I'd have found that on Twitter. Yeah, but that's in. And listen, it's not just OU. Ohio State does it. Clemson does it. Bama does it.
Right.
And that's where you get these same teams.
Yeah.
Because they win those high leverage games.
And what's funny, everyone says, "Oh, your path is clear. You got to win out." And you know, some fans and players, and definitely coach, are going, "No problem. It's November.
Okay.
That's all we do."
Yeah, I mean, it's what we've been doing.
What about Indiana at Michigan?
No. You know what the best game of the weekend is?
San Diego State at Hawaii at 10 p.m.
No.
What's that? What game?
Liberty at Ole Miss.
Yes.
The Hugh Freeze Bowl is going to be the best game of the weekend, or at least the most fun to watch.
Yes.
The least fun to watch is liable to be Auburn A&M.
You think the least fun?
I don't think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be close, but I don't think it's going to be any fun.
Like 21-13, yeah. 21-14, close?
24-21, 21-17. Something like that.
Because of bad football or because of good defense?
Both. Is anyone really trusting Bo Nix? Like, really? I know he's played better.
He's been better. He's turned it around, kind of like Sanders. He's kind of been more trustworthy.
He has been better. But this is the first time the new Bo Nix goes on the road. No. He did it at Arkansas. I'm sorry. That's an at. Anyhow, I'm not really trusting Bo Nix at the moment. We'll see. Calzada is still the quarterback down there in A&M, the backup who torched Alabama. I'm afraid we're in for a knockdown, drag out, boring, close game. Down
as
at
long as
Station.
It's because of good defense, count me in. But if it's because of bad offense, turning the ball over left and right, not because the defense took it away, because the offense gave it away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. That'd be boring, and like I'm just watching two bad teams. And you know when you see that. You know what
product
you're watching.
There's a difference. There's a difference.
But if I'm watching good defense.
Like Georgia plays good defense. They forced the other team to give the ball away.
Right, right.
But coming off the explosion that's going to be Liberty and Ole Miss into that CBS game at 2:30, I think it's just going to be a natural letdown.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great weekend. Big Elks at 7, Merritt at 7.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.